Our first testimony this morning comes from Miss Winona Carball Troyer. So welcome her.
Good morning. I was warned I have 10 minutes. He is counting. So is that? Okay. I'm glad to be here with you guys. Pastor asked me about a month ago if I would give my testimony. So I went to Texas and I said to my daughter, I said, Pastor has asked me to give my testimony at church. And she said, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And then she said, oh Mom, where will you ever start? So in my 61 years, God has done so many amazing things that I would need all day. And tomorrow, maybe the next day, maybe even the day after that, if you have questions. So Pastor said, pick one point. And so, you know I'm going to cry. Okay, so it's just going to happen. So the one point that I picked was love, because that's what drew me to Jesus. When I was a little girl, my parents took us to church. Now, you all know my parents, and I love them dearly. But when they took us to church, they took us to church because it was the right thing. How many people know people that go to church because it's the right thing? This is where you're supposed to be today for, what, an hour? And when we were growing up, the pastor had 10 minutes, and Dad watched his clock and went like this when it got close. So, what, an hour and 15 minutes maybe? But what they didn't realize, what the scripture is very clear, the Bible says to train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he won't depart from it. So those of you right now that are saying, oh my gosh, I took my children to church and I taught them everything. What is wrong with them? And listen, I have six. I can testify to it. They're not old yet. Don't stop praying. But from a little girl in our church, there was a huge picture of Jesus. And the love that came out of his eyes drew me every Sunday. And I wanted to know what that love was like. Unfortunately, I didn't get it where I was. But our pianist got saved. And we were buds. So she took me to church. And on March, I believe it was the 15th in 1975, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. From that day forward, the love that flowed in me that day when I got down on my knees and I said, I want everything you have. I have no idea. I had no idea at the time what that was going to open the doors to. But I wanted every bit of who he was, every single solitary bit. I wanted nothing left out. The scripture says that people can be healed. I wanted to see that. I had to know that. I went to Bible college a few years later, and I saw a man on the basketball court get destroyed. It took his leg out. It was the grossest sound you ever heard. We could hear it in the audience. A week later, in a full cast from his thigh to his legs, a man came to preach at chapel at our Bible college. And he said, somebody here has just been given a sign of death. They've been told that their life has changed forever. And he said, that was man's words. That was not God's words. And in the back of our chapel, which was packed from side to side, that young man let out a roar, a sound like you have never heard in your life. And he jumped up. That cast went flying. He jumped up on the back of the pews, and he went pew to pew to pew to the altar. And he was healed. The doctors didn't even know what to do with him because they told him that he was never going to play basketball again and that he would never be right. The next week he was on the court. When I asked God, God showed me. Scripture says that if we ask, that we will receive. From that time, I told God that nothing would stop me, except something did stop me, and it was the church. I learned very young that salvation is simple. The first thing in salvation, and I taught this to my children, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will be saved. That's how simple that is. Whosoever. All you have to do is accept him. The second thing that I taught my children was Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So when you start pointing at other people's sin, be very, very careful. Because God doesn't care if your sin is this little itty-bitty-bitty or this big. Some sin the whole world can see, but there's a whole lot of sin in here that the world can't see at all, and we can hide it. But it's all sin. So it's that simple. There's none of us better than the other. And I taught that to my children. We're not better. The last one is Matthew 22:37, and it says that we are supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and with all our soul, and with all of our mind. And we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is so simple. All we have to do is just love. That's all we have to do. From the beginning, I had very traumatic things that happened to me as a child. When I was 25 years old, I was told that I would lose the use of my hands. I was a single mom, had a little baby. She was 3 years old. And I was told I was going to lose the use of my hands. And somebody said to me, well, I hope you marry somebody rich because you're not going to be able to take care of yourself. And I said, well, that showed me where it came from. And look, I still got both of my hands. Okay. Now I'm at 61. You're getting a little bit of arthritis. They're a little slow and creaky. But I am still using both of my hands. When I was in my 30s, I got sick. My last child was born. I have 6 kids. My baby was born, and 4 months later, I ended up in the hospital. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks, for two solid weeks. When they came in to take care of me, they told me I was dying. 2 weeks, I heard every day that I was dying. And I said, you know what? I'm going to tell you this right now. I got 6 kids. I said, I am not done living. There is nobody to watch my children. And I grabbed a hold of that poor internal doctor and pulled him down. And I said, have you heard of the internet? Because my name better be all over it. I am going out of this hospital and I'm not dying. I don't have time for that. So when they discharged me 2 weeks later, I was terrified that I was dying. They had convinced me that, you know what, it might happen. The morning after I got home, I hadn't slept. I didn't sleep at all because the condition, my heart could just stop. So I was afraid to go to sleep because if I did, my heart might just stop. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you got to give me some comfort here because I do believe that I'm not going to die, but I need your word. And the Lord said, open the last verse of Job. Well, I was a Bible college student. I could not get through Job. No matter how hard I tried, I never got through Job. I didn't know what the last verse said. The last verse said, and Job lived to be old and full of his days. And God said to me right then and there, and Winona lived to be old and full of her days. Now, I'm only 61. I am not full of my days yet. Pastor said that it's relative, but I am not there yet. But death has been spoken over and over again just within the last year. I've been diagnosed with a brain tumor. I've been diagnosed with a pituitary disease. I have 3 issues with my heart. My arthritis is out of control. And for a while, I caved because, okay, what does old mean? I mean, because to some people, 60s is old. But you know, my parents, my mom was 81, my dad's 88. My dad's already had one heart attack, and you know, and he's still kicking. And you guys held me up, and you guys told me, that I was going to be okay. And you know what? I believed you. And I intend to be okay because I have a full life ahead of me. And you know what? I'm not done loving him yet. And now being right there in glory with him is going to be the greatest love ever. But I'm not done showing other people the love. And that's all that I know to do is to love, 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 love. When we're called, get up. You know, Pastor said, and he cracks me up when he says it. You know, people say, wow, you know, I just wasn't called to that. You know, I prayed about it and I'm not called to it. You know what? Just love. And love does. Love does. We've got mothers and fathers here. We've got children. When love needs, we get up and we run. So there's so much that I could tell you about my life. And there's so much that I've been through. And if you're going through something, come and find us. Find people that you know that have struggled with what you're struggling with. Don't carry it by yourself. Don't. Life is too short. Because he's waiting right there. And sometimes we just got to step up. Sometimes we got to say, he said to me 3 weeks ago, sitting right here, I said, you know what, Lord? My body hurts and I'm kind of getting tired. And I'm a little tired of being scared. Am I really going to make it through this? And he said to me, do you want to go forward? Do you want to keep going on? And I said, you know what? Yeah, I do. I do, because I'm not done loving. I'm not done loving you guys. I'm not done loving the people that I run into at Walmart. I'm not done. I'm not done yet. I'm not done loving. And I haven't seen all my kids do their thing yet. And I want to see every one of my kids do their thing, because my kids were called, and they were called powerfully. And one of the things that's in my Bible that was a word spoken over me quite a few years ago, it says, the degree of the battle is the degree of the victory. And my life has been a battle since the very beginning. So sometimes when you see me wound up and you wonder why, you know what? I don't know any other way except to love and to war. And life is a war, especially as a Christian. But I'm willing to fight what it takes to be in the presence of Jesus Christ and to feel the love that he pours out on us. His love heals us. His love sustains us. His love will get us through no matter what. It doesn't matter that I'm sick. It doesn't even matter what the doctors have said. And boy, some of the doctors have been wretched. But you know what I realized? Man, if they're coming against me, God has something powerful for me. Because the bigger the enemy, the bigger the battle, let me tell you. And the bigger the battle, the bigger the victory. So it's not that what I'm sick with. It's that no matter what happens, he will sustain me through it. If I have to show up here in a stretcher in an ambulance, he will sustain me through it. And y'all know I will. So I'm always here. You guys know how to reach me. I'm always here to pray with you. And I'm going to ask you today, and they didn't know I was going to do this. They're getting ready to play a song, and it's my song. It's Your Goodness is Running After Me, because he has chased me down. When I couldn't stand the church and I left the church, never left him, because I'm so in love with him. But he chased me down. And if you want to feel like he's chasing you, if you don't know that love, if you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, I want to love like that, get your butt to the altar. We will pray for you, and he will meet you. And I don't say this with anything to hurt anybody's feelings, but you can sit in your seat, and you can pray, and you can ask God to meet you. And he will. Sometimes he really will. And sometimes he just wants us to stand up. So if you want to love Jesus that much, come up to the altar today. Let's pray. And let's find that man that is the most amazing amount of love I've ever seen. The most amazing love. Thanks for giving me time.
Joe, come on up and give him a welcome as he comes, would you please?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Joe Lindemann, and what I'm about to tell you is the truth. I didn't write it down. I didn't rehearse it. It's just what happened. And to tell you the honest truth, if I was sitting in my usual seat and one of you were up here talking, I would sit behind Len and Deb and listen politely and walk out a skeptic. I just did. I mean, that's how I was. At any rate, my story begins about 10 years ago when I left the church. I was gone for about 10 years. There was something missing in my life. And it frustrated my wife to the point that she went out to find a church for me. And she went around. I don't know where she went. I really didn't pay that close of attention to it. But she went out, and she came home one Sunday and said, "You have to go to this church on Plank Road." And I said, "What church on Plank Road?" She said, "Grace." Well, she bothered me enough that I finally relented and came one Sunday just to satisfy her. So I came to church, and then I left. Then she bothered me again. I came back the next week, which is a whole week longer than I intended to come. And so by the third week that I came, Pastor Jeff answered a question for me that had been bothering me for probably 30 years. And then every week after that for 8 weeks, because I left that first week thinking, this is a coincidence. I mean, he preaches every week. He's got to come across something. So for 8 weeks after that, he answered a question that I had. And I had been losing sleep over this stuff. So I kept coming back because he kept answering the questions. And I've been here for 8 or 9, maybe 10 years. I don't know. I think Pastor Jeff was here a year before I showed up. So anyway, I was baptized in 2021. And it was really a strange experience because I was coerced into being baptized. I didn't have a choice. What happened was, like every other year, Pastor Jeff was up here and he gave us a reminder that baptism Sunday's coming and church picnic is coming. So I got up and I went home and I had this thought that maybe you should be baptized. And I said, no, I'm not going to be baptized. I was baptized as a child, I was a baby. That's enough. I'm not putting myself through that. It's ridiculous. Well, this thought grew a great deal. And actually, it became a running conversation between me and I suspect it was the Holy Spirit. And it was a verbal conversation. It turned into be a verbal argument because I wasn't going to do it. And I was going to do it, but I didn't think I was. At any rate, so this whole argument kept going for a couple weeks. And I'd be cutting the lawn saying no. I'd be driving to work saying no. I would wake up in the morning saying no. And every time, it got bigger and bigger. And then finally, I realized that if I didn't get baptized, my life was going to be miserable. So baptism morning, that Sunday morning, I found myself getting dressed, go to Summit Grove. And even that morning, I woke up saying no, and I found myself putting on my bathing suit and my shorts on top of it. And on the way over to Summit Grove, I wasn't going to do it. So anyway, I get to Summit Grove, and I look out, and there's Pastor Jeff, who was 9:15 that morning, and he was standing alone, almost like he was waiting for me. And I walked up, and I said, "Pastor, will you baptize me?" And he looked at me, and he said, "You?" And I don't remember what I replied, but probably something like, "Is that against the rules or something?" Because I didn't sign up. At any rate, he gave me instructions what to do, so he opened it up to the church, and I went up there and got baptized. Well, coming out of that water, I can still hear it rushing past my ears. And coming out of that water, I finally realized what it meant to be born again. And it was the strangest thing. You know, and I addressed the church. After, I don't know, remember exactly what I said, but I said something. At any rate, ever since that time, you know, that hole has been filled. When Pastor Jeff talks about joy, I know what he's talking about. When he talks about peace, I know what he's talking about. Because those questions don't bother me anymore. And there's no doubt that I'm saved. And I had a little bit of doubt. You can ask the men's group in the beginning that I wasn't saved. And I always was looking for a loophole, looking for a way out, looking for a hole in the story. Well, there isn't one, because I have been searching for a long time. At any rate, that's kind of what happened to me. And I don't know what else to tell you, except that it still happens. And I think that he's mentioned me up here once or twice, that Joe Lindemann stops and says, "What have you been doing all week?" And he thinks that I think that he doesn't do anything all week. He said to me, "Nothing, I'm not doing anything." And I said, "That's not what I mean." I said, "You must be spying on me somehow, because you know exactly what I'm thinking, and I don't know what the rest of these people are doing here, because you're just talking to me." So anyway, that's where I am, and that's who I am. And I must say, you know, it's so simple. It took me a lifetime to discover it. But God has been good to me. Very good. And I'm blessed with a nice, wonderful wife, nice children, beautiful grandchildren. And everybody's done very well. And I am eternally grateful, and I give thanks constantly. Even when those years that I left the church. That's what happens when you talk with your hands. You know, when I left the church, you know, I still gave thanks to Christ for everything that he's given me. Because he's given, you know, without him, there's nothing. You know, he's responsible for who I am, what I am, and has given me a lot of stuff to be the steward of while I'm on this earth. And it's been a wonderful time. And I'm very happy. And I thank you for listening. And like I said, I don't blame any of you if you don't believe it. Because if I was out there sitting in my seat, I probably wouldn't believe it either. So thank you very much.
Boy, your voice sounds so good this morning.
Woo!
Great to have you back and feeling strong. Stephanie Warner is going to be the last one to give a testimony this morning, so welcome her, would you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, Wynonna, you actually messaged me on Facebook a while back, and you said, "God's got big things in stores. Are you ready?" And I said, "Yes." And I made a promise to the Lord that when he asked me, when he called me, that I would say yes. So when Pastor Jeff actually called me and said, "I have two questions for you," I knew what one of them was, because I knew that it would be Testimony Sunday. So here we are. So my name is Steph. For those of you who do not know me, I've had the honor and the privilege of leading worship here at Grace for the past 2 years. Our family has been in attendance at Grace for over 10 years. This week is my first official week back with the worship team after 2 surgeries and 3 months of recovery. God is good.
All the time.
And Wynonna, if you hadn't picked Goodness of God, I would have, because I've seen his goodness all over my life the entire time. So how do you pick just one thing to talk about, right? So I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for all the many team members and different worship teams that have jumped in to lead worship during this time. I'm so grateful for my family, many of you who are here today, who've just loved on me. Including our church family here, whether it was in notes of encouragement, cards, just words of encouragement, meals. You know who you are. You've just loved on me, and I'm so thankful. Also very grateful to Pastor Jeff for just encouraging me to take the time to heal and recover and for taking over the scheduling of teams and just for simply being an awesome pastor. Most importantly, I'm thankful for a Savior who sacrificed his life for me so that I could be saved. There's just a few things that I want to share with you today. And one of them is when your circumstances change, God can and will use that to build something sweeter and greater than you could have ever imagined.
Yes.
When you feel like retreating and when you feel like pulling away, that's the time to press in the most into him.
Yes.
And then to just always remember. Remember the goodness in his life. Remember those times when only he, and it's only he that can bring you back. So I want to share with you my verse of the season. This is the verse that has been continuously in my mind and on my lips. Ironically, this verse is one that I was praying over others in my life, praying for over others in my life, but it became one of my own favorites to meditate on in the midst of my own struggle. So Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future." I remember very vividly when my God's word spoke softly and gently to me and reminded me that while I felt that my plans and my life had been derailed, that he is greater, he is wiser, and his plans are better than I could ever dream for myself. And most importantly, that I wasn't trusting him. So how it started. July 20th, I woke up very early in the morning, 3 a.m., with just the absolute worst stomach pain. I actually woke my husband up. I was like, man, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to get dressed. I feel like we need to go into the hospital. I was too proud, thought that I had the wind or a stomach virus or something like that. So I tried not to make a big deal about it. I got my pajamas back on, got back into bed, and convinced him and myself that it was just a stomach bug. I later realized in the morning that the pain wasn't going away, so I made an appointment for urgent care and eventually ended up in the hospital later that day. My stomach virus was actually a ruptured intestine, and I was very, very sick. Before my surgery, they told me that there was a slight risk that I could end up with an ileostomy, but they didn't anticipate that. Unfortunately, things were much worse when they actually got in there. There was infection, and basically, I did have to have the worst-case scenario, and it basically meant that they rerouted my small intestine outside of my body. If you want to Google that further, go for it. I wouldn't recommend it. I had about 6 inches of my intestines cut out, and the rest they needed to let rest and heal because they were very, very sick and inflamed. So I was in the hospital for 5 days, and while I was incredibly grateful to be alive, I was definitely in shock and a little out of touch with reality. I genuinely thought that I would be back to life in a few weeks. I thought I'd be back up here leading in a few weeks, and that was until I realized how many stomach muscles it actually takes to sing. And how literally I had had many layers of my stomach muscles just ripped and cut through. Reality set in, and recovery was a lot harder than I anticipated. I went from being a completely independent person, one who's never willing to stop or slow down, my mind is always going, and also to a completely dependent person on others. That's really hard. Over the course of the next few weeks and months, I went through many physical, mental, and spiritual challenges, which included increasing physical pain, dehydration, anger, frustration, depression, and bitterness. It all came to a head on Sunday. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to get emotional. Sunday, August 28th. A lot happened that morning, actually, very early in the morning, too much for a Sunday morning, and the enemy was definitely just... We were under attack. I was feeling so defeated that morning, so crushed, so angry. And I won't go into detail because that's another testimony that is underway right now. And I can't wait for the day that I can rejoice in that because I know that God is good and I know that he has a plan. As much as I wanted to stay home and just rebel that morning, I made the decision that I needed to be here to hear the word with a caveat. I decided that I would actually come in late so that I didn't have to be overwhelmed by worship and music. But God has a sense of humor because actually that morning, the worship team that was in here did like 10 songs instead of 5. So God has a sense of humor. So he got me that morning, and I did crumble, and I am glad that I did, and I did worship because he is worthy of our praise. Yes. I could have easily made the choice to retreat that morning, but I chose to press into him. And when I'm feeling weary again in the future, I'll remember that moment. I will remember how he loved me when I was being a jerk, how he filled my cup, how he gave me strength, how he carried me through a storm, how he made a way, and he's still making a way. Yes. That morning, the song Waymaker, that was the one that just revived me that morning. As I was preparing for this, I was definitely struggling with emotions, like I am now. Side note, like, this whole thing has turned me into just the biggest ball baby. But I don't care because I don't want to forget it. I don't want to forget his goodness, his grace, his mercy, and his love for me. I always want to feel this gratitude and this thankfulness in my life. It makes life that much sweeter. Matt, like he has, so Matt's my husband, like he has for the last 3 months, he never judges me for my emotional outbursts and just continues to encourage me. We were talking the other night and I was looking at my scar and I just said, man, I don't think this thing is really going to fade much. It's probably just going to be a gnarly scar for the rest of my life. And he came back the next day and he said, I was thinking about what you said, and I'm paraphrasing here, that this scar is going to be your monument and how you will always remember what God's done in your life. Yes. Yes. I'm so thankful for the people who he has placed in my life, for the wisdom he's given them, and for their willingness to share it with me. You know who you are. So let me tell you about my Jesus and what he has done through my circumstances. He healed me from more than just physical ailments. He loved me when I questioned him. He brought our family closer together through this and taught me that it's okay to lean on other people. It's okay to ask for help. Yes. He's revealed himself to me in a way that I will always remember. And he's reminded me that his word says, for I know the plans that I have given you. And it doesn't say, for Steph knows the plans that Steph has for herself. Right. He has given me joy. So how's it going today? Three weeks ago, I had my second surgery to reverse the ileostomy, which basically put everything back together. I praise the Lord that I'm well enough to get back up here today and give him the honor and the glory and the praise that he deserves and to testify about what he has done in my life. My surgeon called what happened bad luck, because what actually caused it was a birth defect that I had for 41 years that I didn't know that I had. For a while, I would have agreed with him, but I've started to see it as a blessing instead. I have a profound gratitude and thankfulness that I can't contain. So as I wrap up this morning, I want to encourage you that when you go through trials, and you will, that he can take the broken and make it beautiful again. Yes. Even if you feel like you are faltering or questioning, remember that he is your anchor and that you can hold on to him. Stand firm on his word and his promises. And my high school English teacher actually said something so eloquently, and she said, many people will tell you that you've got this, but for a Christian, a much better response is that God has you in the palm of his hand, and he will not allow anything to overcome you. He is greater than every illness and trial you will face. If you're here today and you aren't saved, don't let this opportunity slip away. Talk to somebody here. I can't imagine doing life without my Heavenly Father. I cannot imagine having a life without hope, and he is our hope. So thank you, Lord. That's it.